In this week's Sedra in Parshas Bishalach, the Torah tells us that the Mon came down every day of the week, except for Shabbos and except for Yontif. And on Erev Shabbos, a double portion came down, Lecha Mishnah. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Bnei Yisrael that on Shabbos, they should not go collect the Mon. And the expression that he uses, the expression that appears in the Chumash, Ayetzi Yish Minkomo Bayom Ashvi. So the Gemara has two ways to translate the Pasuk. It's a question of translation and interpretation. I'll soon explain. One, Rashi HaChumash says, one way to read it is that every day, let's say there was a husband and a wife and they had nine children. I have nine children. So the husband had to go pick up a ton of money. He had to take an omer for each one of the members of the household. So he had to take 11 units a month. So you can't carry it in your hand. Omer is an awful lot. So they had to schlep pots and pans. They had to collect it. So on Shabbos, apparently there was no Eruv in the Midbar. Question, why not? They didn't make an Erev in the Midbar, so you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Al Yetzish Bimkoma Bayam HaShvi'i, it's self-understood, means no one should go carrying the pots and pans on Shabbos, because there's no Erev, so you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. That's one way to translate the Pasuk. The other way to translate the Pasuk is, Al Yetzish Bimkoma, no one's allowed to go too far away from their home. Nothing to do with carrying on Shabbos. No one's allowed to go too far away from your home. So the Gemara says there was a machloikas hatanoim, a dispute in the days of the Tanoim, whether the din of going chutz letchum is a din min haTorah or only a din midrabban. So the Tana who says that it's only midrabbanan, obviously translates the pasuk al yotzi ish b'mkoma al yotzi. Doesn't mean you're not allowed to go too far away from your home. It means you're not allowed to carry pots and pans in order to collect the mon. There wasn't going to be any mon anyway, but someone may decide to go look to see, maybe he'll find someone. Moshe Rabbeinu says you're not allowed to carry the pots and the pans because it's like so, there's no Erev. According to the Tanu who says that Tchumen is the Raisa, that you're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum, so then the Gemara is still not sure. Is that the translation of the Pasuk? Al Yetzi Ish B'mkoyin, you're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum? Or should we assume no? The simple translation of the Pasuk, Pshuto Shal Mikra, really means that you're not allowed to carry out pots and pans. This is an additional level of interpretation that you're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum. What's the difference whether this is the translation of the pasuk pshuto shel mikra or this is an additional level of interpretation? You have many psukim and chumash that the Gemara in Sanhedrin quotes the pasuk from Tehillim. Achaz dibur lakim shtaim zu shamati. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu a text of a pasuk, one line of a pasuk. And very often you have more than one level of interpretation. We have secular books written by non-Jews that have more than one level of meaning, and the author intended more than one level of meaning. You have, I forgot already which book, there's a book where there's a pshuto, where there are three levels of meaning, and the author meant all three levels of meaning. So in the Torah you have shivim parim la-Torah. In any given pasuk you can have 70 levels of interpretation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way that in addition to the Pshuto Shal Mikra, there are additional levels of interpretation. So the Gemara says on the last daf in the first perek in Erevin, what is the difference whether the literal translation of the Pasuk is that you're not allowed to carry, but also included in the Pasuk as an additional level of interpretation is that you're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum, or that is the literal translation, that you're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum. What's the difference? The Gemara says the difference is, do you get malchus? If a person violates an aver which is similar to lo saksam shor b'dishoy, Torah has a din, you're not allowed to muzzle an animal when it's doing work on food. Lo saksam shor b'dishoy. So the pasuk says in Chumash, when Bezdin ascertains that someone is a Rasha, so they give him malchus. They take a whip and they give him 39 times malchus if he can take, and if he can't take it, they give him less. Maximum is 39. So whom do you declare as a Rasha? The Aguda holds the Mizrahi as a Rasha. Then Turkata holds the Aguda as a Rasha. Everybody holds the other one as a Rasha. The Lubavitch hold that this one's a Rasha. They hold the Lubavitch is a Rasha. Everybody holds the other one is a Rasha. So which Rasha gets Malkus? So the Gemara says in Chumash Devarim, unlike Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbor, Chumash Devarim is different that Yidarshin Smuchim. If you have two psukim, one next to the other, we look for a link and a connection between the two. So you have many, 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 many famous dinim, many famous drushas based on smuchim, based on the fact that you have two psukim next to each other in Chumash Devarim only. And the other four chumashim bereishis through Bamidbar, you only assume that there's a connection if you have two dinim written in the same pasuk. That's called the hekesh. But if you have two dinim written in psukim that are adjacent to each other, we don't darshan smuchim. And a chumish dvar midu. So this pasuk that says bezin should ascertain who is a rasha. Whoever is declared as a rasha, whoever is determined as a rasha, should be given malchus. They should whip him. So this says in chumish right next to the pasuk lo sachzim shar b'disha. The Gemara says that's why, that's the paradigm, that's the dugma, that's the official example of a person who does an avera for which he deserves malchus is l'sachzim shabedishay. So the Gemara says in several places that l'sachzim shabedishay is what it says in the pasuk. That's the literal translation of the pasuk. If you have a pasuk in Chumash and the literal translation b'shulto shamirko is one thing, and you have an additional level of interpretation that it's also alluding something else, that's already called Torah Shebal Peh, and you don't give Malkus on Torah Shebal Peh. You only give Malkus on Torah Shebichzav, on the Pshut Rosh HaMikra. So the Gemara has a dispute at the end of the first Perek in Erevin. The Gemara has a dispute whether, according to the opinion of the Tana, that Tchumen is a Din Minat Torah, a person who goes Chutz L'Tchum, would we give him Malkus or not? So the Gemara says it depends whether we should assume Al Yetzish Memkom, where the Pshut Rosh HaMikra refers to carrying, and the Truman story is only an additional level of interpretation. Oh no, this is the literal translation in the Pasuk. So now the Gemara has like this. The Tana Rabbi Akiva was a prominent figure in the days of the Tanoim. The whole Torah Shebal Peh went through Rabbi Akiva. It's another story. What was that all about? So the Tana Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that Truman Alpaimama is 1 mil. 1 mil is not the same as a mile. Alpaimama is much less than a mile. So the opinion of Rabbi Akiva based on a psukim is that alpaimama, 1 mil, is an isa deraisa to go chutz l'tchum. The Gemara says we have not accepted Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Gemara says in several places we don't accept his opinion. The Rif in the end of the first parak in Erevin on that Gemara says we have not accepted Rabbi Akiva's opinion that 1 mil is deraisa. However, the Talmud Yerushalmi, this never appears in the Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi raises the possibility that maybe going chutz l'yud beis mil, the Machne Yisrael in the Midbar, there were four different Machnois. The Levim were taking care of the Mishkan in the middle, and there was a Machne in the north, a Machne in the east, in the south, and the west. And the layout of all of the Machnois together was 12 mil by 12 mil. That's how the Gemara says, Yud Beis Mil al Yud Beis Mil. Gigantic. So the Rishalmi raises the possibility, doesn't say Behechlit that this is the Din. Rishalmi raises the possibility. Correct, we have rejected the opinion of the Tana Rabbi Akiva, who says that Alpaimama, 1 mil, is an Issa Deraisa, that we has not been accepted, but maybe we should accept this possibility that Yud Beis Mil will be an Issa Deraisa of Tchumen. So that's a suffix in the Rishami quoted by the Rif at the end of the first parak in Erevin. It's questionable how this came about. The Rambam doesn't write that it's a suffix. The Rambam paskins like that. That is the din. That, and the Shulchan Aruch writes like that. The Mechaber very often follows Rabbi Yosef Karo. When he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, very often he follows the Rambam verbatim. So here the Mechaber follows the Rambam that going chutz lemil, chutz lapaimamo, is only an Issa derabbanon. But if a person goes chutz liyudeis mil, that will constitute an Issa deraisa. And the Rambam, in fact, counts this in the listing of the 613 mitzvahs. There's one, there are 365 lois essay, lav and averis. So there's one aver not to be mechal Shabbos by doing lametes malochas. There's another aver not to go chutz l'tchum. Not to go chutz l'tchum of Yud Beis Mil. Counts it as a separate issa. It's not one of the malochas. On the other malochas, the 39 malochas, if you violate one of them, there's a death penalty of skila, and there's a chiyuv koris b'mezin, and there's a chiyuv chatas b'shoigeg, and you have all the rules of melachah shein tzvicha leguf, and a whole series of dinim, kalachayad, and so on. And tchumen is not one of the 39 melachas; a separate isa. In fact, the Rambam's opinion is this separate mitzvah, the minyan on mitzvahs. The Rambam says that it's only on Shabbos to go chutz l'tchum on Yom Kippur and Yontav is only the rabbanon. Yeah, Mishnah is that in the end of Masechet Beitza, you have Mishnah after Mishnah after Mishnah, you're not permitted to go chutz l'tchum on Yontav either, but the Rambam says that's only mid the Rabbanon. There was a big correspondence between the Rambam's son, the Rambam had passed away, so there was a correspondence between the son of the Rambam, Rabbi Avraham, and the Dayan from Baghdad, Rabbi Daniel HaBavli, who lived in Baghdad, regarding this position of the Rambam. So Rabbi Daniel HaBavli tainted if the Rambam already holds that Tchumen is an Issa Deraisa to go Yud Beis Mil, so why shouldn't Yom Kippur be exactly the same as Shabbos? Yom Kippur is Shabbos. Yontif, I understand. Yontif is different. There's a Heterachal Nefesh. You're allowed to carry. You're allowed to cook. Yontif is much more lenient, much more kal than Shabbos. But Yom Kippur is exactly the same as Shabbos. So why shouldn't the prohibition of Tchumen apply equally to Yom Kippur? So Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam defends his father's opinion. He says, no, that Yom Kippur is lighter, that the Yisat Tchumen and Atarah only applies to Shabbos and doesn't apply to Yom Kippur. They had a whole correspondence about different issues, different difficulties, different problems in the Rambam. Most of them relate to passages that the Rambam wrote in the Sefer HaMitzvos. In the middle of the correspondence, they deal here and there with passages in the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah as well. And this all appears in a book that's it was printed in Paris in the 1800s, that's called Ma'aseh Nisim. Rav Soloveitchik always used to quote from that Ma'aseh Nisim, and every time he would quote, he would always say, I never understand why they called it Ma'aseh Nisim. I never saw any Nisim in the floors there. It's everything is lumdus, everything is straight Gemara, and sources, Toseftas, and everything. So on the first page of the book, they tell you why it's called Ma'aseh Nisim. The Balabas who paid for the publication, his name was Mr. Nisim. He's a Sephardi, he lived in Paris in the 1840s or something. And it says his name, Ma'aseh Nisim, because he paid for the publication of the book. Rav Soloveitchik never used to read introductions, and he never used to read. He just read the Sefer, and says, he never saw what the Nisim and the floors are there. So that's famous. This is one of the issues that he disputed, Rabin, and Daniel Abavli had this dispute, Rabin Avram Ben Aram. Rashi and Taisus are of the opinion that according to the view that Tchumen is an Issa Deraisa, not only is it Deraisa on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, it's even Deraisa on Yontif. So that the Shagas Aryeh, without dealing with the Rambam and Rabbi Daniel Abav, the Shagas Aryeh very often takes the liberty of disagreeing with Rishonim. So he writes, he doesn't see how Rashi and Taisus can say that. Even if you think like the Tana, that Tchumen is an Issa Deraisa, how should it carry over from Shabbos to Yom? So that's a famous topic, that's a famous discussion. What about the other mitzvahs, let's say Kiddush? There's a pasuk in Chumash and Aseres HaDibros that you recite it, you have to recite Kiddush on Shabbos. Reciting Kiddush on Shabbos is not one of the malachas. We know the malachas carry over from Shabbos to Yom Tov. It says you're not allowed to do malach on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do malach on Yom Tov, except for the Heter Echol Nefesh. But the other mitzvahs of Shabbos carry over. What about Kiddush? What about Shvisas Behemto? What about Tchumen? What if you hold Havara Lalav Yotzos? Does Havara carry over from Shabbos to Yom Tov? So this is a famous discussion in Rishayim and in Achrayim. There's a whole famous topic. Where does this? What is the significance? What's the difference whether Tchumen is Deraisa Derabbanan? Orthodox people observe Dinim Derabbanan with the same strict compliance as they observe Dinim Deraisa. Sometimes by the other groups, sometimes by the conservatives, say, well, it's only the Rabbanan, so therefore we can be lenient. Sometimes you are lenient on Dinim Derabbanan. So where does it come up, this whole discussion whether Tchumen is Deraisa Derabbanan? So where it's brought up in Shulchan Aruch is the following. The Gemara in Erevin has a suffix whether one is in violation of Tchumen if he's Lamaila Me'asara. What do you mean Lamaila Me'asara? If a person is walking on the ground, we say a person is on the ground on Erev Shabbos, the beginning of Shabbos, we have an expression, he's Koine Shvisa. He's not allowed to go Chutz L'mkomo. Al-Yetze Ish M'mkomo. So how do you determine where your Mokom is? Wherever you are at the beginning of Shabbos, that's your Mokom. Or, let's say, where am I in the beginning of Shabbos? I'm davening in shul. But I don't want to be kind of shvisa in the shul. I want to be kind of shvisa at home. So that's self-understood. I know where my home is. My apartment. The apartment where I live, I want to be kind of shvisa over there. And you figure out, we'll have to figure out what the tchum is there. So what if a person is flying in the air? What if a person is flying in the air, if there is such a thing, Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, when Shabbos begins, is he kind of shvisa in the air? So the Gemara says, if he's within the first 10 tefachim above the ground, that relates to the ground. What if he's above, lamayla me'asara tefachim, he's above 10 tefachim above the ground. So if he's riding on a train, and the train has wheels, he's riding horseback, and the horse is 4 feet there on the ground, and he's sitting on the horse, so that's considered that he's sitting on the ground. He's sitting on a train, and the floor of the train is lamala me'asara tefachim, but the wheels of the train are going on the ground, and there's a floor that's dalat tvoch mal dalat tvoch. So that's not called lamayla ma'asar. What if he's flying in the air? And the airplane doesn't have any wheels; it's not connected with the ground. So that's a question in the Gemara: is a person koina shvisa? Do you say that he was in the plane at the beginning of Shabbos? He's koina shvisa over that latitude and longitude, that location on the globe, and then if he lands in the middle of Shabbos, now he's chutz l'tchum. But he's saying, no, he doesn't begin to be koina shvisa, he doesn't begin to be considered a makom until he's almost landing on the ground, when the plane is within 10 tefachim to the ground. So that's one suffix the Gemara has. Is a person koina shvisa, is this considered his makom if he is located l'mayla me'asor tefachim at the beginning of Knesset HaShabbos? And the Gemara has another discussion. No, the person is in shul, where he belongs on Erev Shabbos, and his apartment is down the block, whatever, and he wants to be kind of shvisa there, but he's going to go chutz l'tchum, he's going to fly. He's going to fly in the air in the middle of Shabbos. Or he's going to walk on stilts. He's going to walk on stilts. And the stilts are tall sticks, and there is no dalat tvachim al dalat tvachim. He puts his foot, there isn't a floor. A floor means dalat tvachim al dalat tvachim. That's called a makam. There is no floor. So that's the suffix in the Gemara. I permitted to go chutz l'tchum if you're walking on very tall stilts in such a way that your feet are l'mayla me'asar tvach. So it's a suffik in the Gemara teku. So how do you deal with the suffik in the Gemara? How do you paskin halacha l'maisa? So we paskin whenever there's a teku, whenever the Gemara has a suffik, if you're dealing with an issue that's a deraisa, the suffik deraisa l'chum. If you're dealing with an issue that's only derabbanan, the suffik derabbanan l'kula. So Rabbi Yosef Kara in the Shulchan Aruch follows the Rambam. He says, if you plan to go chutz liyud beis mil, you're dealing with an issue deraisa. So then safik deraisa, you have to go the chumrah. If you're only going to go chutz lemil echot, chutz la'apai mama, that for sure the Gemara says we have not accepted Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Akiva's of the opinion that chumin of alpai mama is deraisa. So since we have not accepted that, we pass on that chumin of 1 mil alpai mama is only the rabbanon. So safik the rabbanon l'kul, you can go chutz la'apai mama. The Ramah writes, and that line in the Shulchan Aruch, that's what the Rambam and the Rif hold, that Yud Beis Mil is a din deraisa. But the Ramah says, we Ashkenazim follow the Bali HaTosis. The Bali HaTosis didn't hold for this Yerushalmi. Never mentioned in the Bavli. So Tosis holds that all Tchumen is only the Rabbanon. Even Yud Beis Mil is only the Rabbanon. So if a person is going to go Chutz L'Tchum, person is going to go chutz l'tchum l'mayla me'asor atfachim, even chutz l'yud beis mil, we would be mekel on that. Yeah. How relevant is that? Well, someone's going to walk on stilts. Someone's going to walk l'mayla me'asor atfachim on stilts. So the Gemara says, the question is it possible for Eliyahu Hanavi to come on Shabbos? So the Gemara has a serious discussion about this. So the Gemara says, we have Kvar Muftach Lehem Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us that he's going to send Eliyahu Navi the day before Mashiach. That's a pasuk in the end of Malachi. Malachi was one of the three prophets who gave Nevuah after the 70 years of Golus Bavel. Shlomo HaMelech writes in Shir HaShirim, Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the first Beis HaMikdash, knew that it was Asid Lehechorev. He already knew from the days of the Meraglim. Doesn't say it in Chumash explicitly, but it says it in Yecheskel and says it in Tehillim. That already at the time of the Chet HaMeraglim was on Tisha B'av, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Atem b'chisem b'chir shalchinam ani yakvar lechem b'chir l'dervis." So it was already known on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, and then it Tziv interprets where it says in Chumash. He quotes the Pesukim in Yecheskel and Tehillim, and he shows where it says it in the Chumash also. That they already told that when they'll enter Eretz Yisrael, because of the Chet HaMeraglim, the first Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed and they'll be sent into Golas Bavel. Sent into Golus, turned out to be Golus Bavel. And then the question was, when the second Beis HaMikdash will be built, will that be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash, or will that also be doomed to destruction? So Shlomo HaMelech wrote in Shir HaShirim, "Mimchaimohi nivna lehatiras kesef, mdelesi naso ala alu achores." So the Gemara gives, this is not the simple translation of the Pasuk, the Gemara gives an additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk, after the 7 years of Golus Bavel, "Imchomohi," if Yalu Kachayma, if after the Golus Bavel is over, after the 7 years of Golus Bavel, if all the Jews will return back to Eretz Yisrael, then second Beis HaMikdash will be like Nivna Lehatiras Kesef. It will be like a metal structure, just like a Kesef, metal, Ein HaRekev Sholitbo, it doesn't rot. So too the second Beis HaMikdash will be will be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash. It will not be destroyed, number one. And number two, the Jewish people will still have Nevuah. Kadosh Baruch Hu will not cause the Jewish community to rot away. He will send us Nevi'im, and the Nevi'im will give us Musa. The job of the Navi is when he sees the people are violating Averis, he has to give Tochacha. But if hardly anybody will show up after the gold is bubbled, that's what happened. A fraction, hardly anybody showed up. There were millions of Jews living in Bavel, and it says for less than 45,000 showed up, and Ezra had to stop in the middle and go back to Shlep Levim. They were coming back from Bavel in order to complete the building of the Beis HaMikdash, in order to bring Karbonos. There weren't even enough, there were enough Kohanim, but not enough Levim to run the Beis HaMikdash. They had to stop by a river and go Shlep more Levim. A scandalous, like today, after Hakamas Amdina. So the Jews still live in Muncie and Manhattan and Borough Park, and we still live in America. We all belong in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo said, in Delasi, if hardly anybody will show up, Notzer Ala Alu Achores. The second Beis HaMikdash will be like a wooden bungalow, like a wooden hut. Sheharekeb Sholaba, wooden structure can rot away. Wood can rot away. So the Gemara has the understanding on a double level. Number one, the second Beis HaMikdash will be doomed to destruction. It will not be the everlasting one. And number two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not send any more Nevi'im to give Tochacha. So the Gemara says, how come there were the three prophets, Chag Chaim Malachi, if the Rebbeinu Shlomo was so upset about Bnei Yisrael, they didn't come back? So the Gemara says, no. Gimel Nevi'im, Olo Imam Ebovo, the Rebbeinu Shlomo had to send the three Nevi'im, because the Halacha says, the Sheikh Nasir should Rosh Al Pi Navi. If you want to build the Beis HaMikdash, you must have authorization from a Navi. Even if you can figure out archaeologically where everything belongs and where the Makam HaMizbech is and everything, you still have to have authorization from a Navi. So we needed these three prophets, Chag Chaim Malachi. Each one gave a nevuah on a different aspect of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara tells you what each one gave a different nevuah. So the last one of the three was Malachi. They were at the same time. In Tanakh, the last one is Malachi. So he signs off, Zichra Taras Moshe Avdi. You should keep all of the mitzvahs because I'm the last Navi. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is not going to send any more Nevi'im because he's angry at you. And then he says in the next pasuk, Hinenecha Shalech Lechem is Eliyahu HaNavi. The next Navi is going to be a long wait. The next Navi after me is going to be Eliyahu HaNavi. When is he going to come? Lefnei bo Yom Hashem HaGadol V'HaNoro. When is the Yom Hashem HaGadol V'HaNoro? So the Gemara in Erevin, in this discussion, the Gemara understands that to mean the day before Mashiach. Eliyahu HaNavi would appear in front of the Sanhedrin, in front of the Bez Nagadol, and he will notify them that tomorrow Mashiach will appear. That's why in the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo in the 1500s, they were hoping that Mashiach would come soon. So they wanted to be there to be Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu HaNavi. So they wanted to reinstitute the Smicha. You can't have a Sanhedrin unless you have Smicha. So the chain of Smicha had been broken centuries before. All the Smicha that we have today is only imitation Smicha. So they wanted to reinstitute the smicha by gathering all the rabbanim together. So all of these rabbanim, most of the rabbanim in that generation lived in Tzfat, in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, because the Talmud tells us, the Rambam quotes this from the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, that Eser Golias Golsa Sanhedrin, when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so the Shechina left in 10 stages. The Gemara documents it based on Psukim and Nevi'im and Ksuvim. The Shechina was originally Ben Abadim, on top of the Oren in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Bais Rishon, the Oren was still in the... Well, the Oren was hidden in the basement, but before, towards the last years of the Bais Rishon, but the Shechina used to be on top of the Oren in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So then the Gemara quotes Psukim and Navi, the way the Shechina left in 10 stages, went to one location, another location, then it went to the seventh heaven, it went back to heaven. And then the Gemara makes a parallel. That just like there were 10 stages, Eser Golias Golso Shechina, at the end of the period of the Bais Rishon, so too Eser Golias Golso Sanhedrin, at the end of the period of the Bais Sheni. So the Gemara says a famous line that 40 years before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 70. So 40 years before was the year 30. So the Sanhedrin left the Lishkas HaGozi, self imposed Golas, and they went to Achanus, a different location. Then they went from the Hanus, later they went to Yerushalayim. Then they went to a different location. And then it petered out, then it disappeared. So it disappeared somewhere in the Galil, in the north. There was Tiberia and Tzipari and Shvara and Menusha, and then they were going around and around there, so it conked out over there. And then the Rambam quotes from the Gemara, and when the Sanhedrin will reconvene, they will reconvene in the same location where they met last like every day. The Sanhedrin meets in this in Beis Hamikdash. Then they go home to eat supper with their wives and their children, to do homework with their children. Then they come back the next morning. The oldest didn't come back the next morning. So every day they come back, they reconvene. So there's been a pause of almost 2,000 years. So they'll reconvene. Won't be anybody still alive from 2,000 years ago. But when the Sanhedrin will reconvene, it'll be in the same location where they were the last time 2,000 years ago. That's why about 5 years ago, when they, Rabbi Steinsaltz and a group of other rabbis decided to reconvene the Sanhedrin, so they met in Tveria, I think. I think they met in Tveria a few times, and now they meet in Yerushalayim, once a year or so. All based on this Gemara, that the Sanhedrin will reconvene in his last location. So that's one of the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo. They were interested in reinstituting the Smicha. The Rambam writes that it's possible if you gather all the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael together, they can reinstitute Smicha. It doesn't have to be Ish min pi Ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no one alive in the 1500s who had had Smicha from an earlier generation. The Smicha, the chain of Smicha, had already been broken centuries before. So they wanted to gather all the Rabbanim together, so they gave Rabbi Yosef Karo Smicha, and they gave a few other Rabbanim. Al-Shech got Smicha. A few other Rabbanim, and then the whole thing petered out. So the whole plan was, they wanted to give Smicha, to make a new Sanhedrin, so that Eliyahu Navi will have an address. Eliyahu Navi will come, and they wanted to be Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu Navi. In Yiddish today, we have an expression, you should be Zeicher to be Mekabel Pnei Moshiach Tzidkenu. And the Gemara doesn't talk about to be Zeicher to be Mekabel Pnei Moshiach. It talks about to be Zeicher to be Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu Navi. The Gemara says, when Eliyahu Navi comes the day before Moshiach, there's going to be a big Kabbalah spun. So the Gemara says, Kfar Muftoch Lehem Yisrael, we have a promise, Eliyahu Navi will not come on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, because the Jewish people are too busy preparing for Shabbos and Yontif. We won't be able to make a Kabbalah spun for him. So the Gemara says, okay, so you cross that Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. What about Shabbos itself? What about Yontif itself? So the Gemara says, that's a question. Eliyahu Navi is going to have to come to the location where the Sanhedrin is. He's probably going to be Chutz L'Tchum, and the Gemara assumes he's going to be flying in the air. The Gemara doesn't explain what it. So the Gemara says, that's a Shaila and Din. Is there a prohibition of Tchum and Lamayla Me'asor Tvach? So that's why there's a Sufik. Can Eliyahu Navi come on Shabbos and not? So Misufik, that's why Amatzoi Shabbos, the first thing we sing is Eliyahu Navi. You don't sing Eliyahu Navi on Erev Shabbos, you don't sing on Shabbos, because we're not sure whether he can come on Shabbos. But on Matzoi Shabbos, for sure he can come. So that's why the first thing we pray for is Eliyahu Navi should come. Eliyahu Navi is going to come to announce that tomorrow Mashiach is going to be here. That's what that Nigin is based on, that passage in the Gemara. So that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, this discussion. What's the din? Is there a prohibition of going Chutz L'Tchum L'mayla Me'asar Tvachim? So the Mechaber, Rabbi Yosef Karo Paskins, that to go Chutz L'Yud, Beis Mil, is a biblical prohibition. He follows the Rambam and the Rif, based on the Yerushalmi. That's an Issa Deraisa. So a Sofik in the Gemara, that's a Sofik Deraisa L'chumi. You're not allowed to go L'mayla Me'asara, Chutz L'Yud, Beis Mil. And the Ramos says with the Ashkenazim, that we don't follow that opinion. We hold that all Tchumen is only the Rabbon. The commentaries in the back of the Gemara raise a question, that there is a common practice, when you have a bris, you set aside a kisei shel Eliyahu. What is that all about? So there's a medrash that says that Eliyahu Anavi was complaining to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It says in Sefer Melachim, he was complaining about the Jewish people that as brischa heferu, that they violate the bris. So it sounded like the Jews don't observe bris milah. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, what are you talking about? The Jews always observe bris milah. They don't necessarily observe Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMashpacha, but Bris Milah, the overwhelming majority of the Jews do observe. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, I'm going to show you, I'm going to make you attend every single Bris. That's what it says in the Medrash, that we assume that Eliyahu Navi attends all the Bris. So the commentaries ask, how can it be there's a Bris in Johannesburg on Shabbos and there's a Bris in New York? How can it be Eliyahu Navi is flying, going from one Bris to the other, he's going L'mayla Me'asara? So you're assuming that he comes. Why do you make a case of Shel Eliyahu on Shabbos if you're not sure if Eliyahu Navi is allowed to go L'mayla Me'asara? So the commentaries in the back of the Gemara say no. Eliyahu Navi comes to the Bris, he comes as a malach, as an angel. Angels are not restricted where they go. The angels can go chutz l'tchum. That's not a problem. The Gemara says on that daf in Erevin, angels and Shadim, other kind of an angel, good angels, bad angels, angels can fly wherever they want. They're not obligated to observe the laws of Tchum Shabbos. But when a Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come the day before Mashiach, he's going to come as a human being. He never died. So now he travels around as a malach, as a good malach, so that he's not restricted where he goes. But the day before Mashiach, he's going to come as a boss of Adam. So that, the Gemara says, as a human being, then he's obligated to observe the laws of Tchumen. So the Gemara is not sure whether he'll be allowed to go l'mayla me'asarana. What's strange is that in the back of the Gemara in Erevin, on that daf, when the Achrenim posed the question, so some of them posed the question, how can Eliyahu Navi attend all the brisen on Shabbos in Moscow and in New York and in Los Angeles and in Johannesburg? And they asked the same question regarding Pesach night. So that's what others point out. Where does it say that Eliyahu Navi comes on Pesach night? That's above a Maisa. That's like Santa Claus coming on Kotzman. that's not for real. That's above a Maisa. We have Kosa Shel Eliyahu, means we have a suffix in din, whether you're supposed to have arba kosas or five kosas. So we call this kosas shel Eliyahu. And when Eliyahu Navi will come, he'll tell us. Maybe then we certainly will have five kosas. Maybe he'll tell us, should we have five kosas? Because it says five l'shana shogu. It says v'hoitzeisi, v'yitzalti v'gaalti v'lakachti, v'yivesi eschem al ha'oritz. So we don't drink a fifth kos, v'yivesi al ha'oritz, because the Rebbeinu Shlom kicked us out of Eretz Yisrael. As Mashiach that come in, so we'll be back in Eretz Yisrael to stay. So maybe then we should have five cases. So in the Tanoim, it's a big question. Rav Tarfon in the Gemara, the last parak himself, the Gemara talks about Kos Chamishi. So that's a question. Not really. We open the door to say Shvach HaMoscha Lagoyim. We want to demonstrate that it's Leil Shimurim, that we're not afraid, that the Baruch Hashem is going to protect us. So we open the door for half a second. Then we lock the door again. We say it's Leil Shimurim. In today's Sedra, Pesach night is called Leil Shimurim. That's why it says you don't say Kriya Shema Lamita. That's why you don't say, if Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so you don't say Mogen Avos, because Mogen Avos says that those who came late to Shul should be protected. They shouldn't get harmed. So we demonstrate that Pesach night is Leil Shimurim. So we do different things to demonstrate. So one of them is you open the door, and then we say Shvach HaMoscha L'Goyim. That's it, but it's not really.
Don't we pour the cup for the cup just before we open the door?
We fill up the fourth cup, and then we fill a fifth cup, and we say, "Bikol HaKosu Shel Eliyahu, as Eliyahu Navi Bet Kumin." He'll tell us whether we're supposed to have five cups or four cups.
At the time of filling the cup, isn't that before we open the door?
Yeah. To show that there's a question regarding the fifth cup, but it has nothing to do with Eliyahu Navi coming to drink the cup. That's really a Baba Maisa. They had this year in the newspaper, they had it in the news, that they were so concerned that when Santa Claus comes down, he's going to get hurt, he's going to burn himself, so the children got killed in the news. So it's a stupidity. So this story of Eliyahu Navi also, our whole religion is based, the validity and the truth of our religion is based on historical tradition that we had several million people witnessing the Esem Makkos and the Kriyas Yamsuf and the Maimon HaSinai. And we assume, Avosenu lo shikru lonu. I knew my four grandparents, my father's parents, my mother's parents. They were all B'Kavadik people, they were not drunkards. None of them were Shikurim. And they knew their parents, maybe they even knew their grandparents, and they knew their parents and their grandparents all the way back. We know that our ancestors were very serious people, and they didn't make up Baba Mises like Santa Claus. They didn't make up these stories. And when they make up a story about Eliyahu Navi drinking the cup, so they tell the children later that the whole thing is a joke. But it's not right to make up the Baba Mises in the first place. You shouldn't mix in Baba Mises with true stories. Our emunah is based on that's how the Rambam quotes from the Kuzari, that the Umas Olam, yes, the Jewish people, Shuvi Shuvi Hav Shulam, Shuvi Shuvi Venechazabach, join the Christian religion, join the Islam religion, join the other religions. And then the response of the Jewish people is, Matechzu Bashulam is Kemicholos HaMachanoim. If you'll show us Machana, more Machana, if you'll show us witness millions of people who witnessed miracles when there was his godless, when God revealed himself, so then we'll consider your religion. All the other religions, supposedly Yoshke did most osas and mops and this and that flaws. You had 20 students watching. You didn't have several million people watching. The whole validity, the whole truth of our religion is based on the fact that I was saying Allah Shikra alone. Our forefathers didn't tell us a lie. That's a mean. There's no Issa deraisa. There are those who say even if you hold Yud Beis Milah's deraisa, there are more paskins for Ashkenazim. There's no Tchum deraisa anyway. Even Yud Beis Milah. even if one follows the Mechaber. So that's what some Rishonim say. The Magen Mishnah and others say that the Tchum of the Raisi Yid Beis Milah is only on the dry land. But if you're traveling on the ocean, so then everyone would agree Tchum is only the Rabban. Yeah. But Ashkenazim hold that all Tchum is only the Rabban.
Approximately how many miles is Yid Beis
Milah? 1 mil, I think, is 3/5 of a mile. Alpai Mama is around 3/5 of a mile. So multiplied by 12. 12 times 3/5 of a mile. Whatever it turns out to be. not so much. Yeah, very little. Approximately. So what exactly is the Tchum Shabbos? What is the din of Tchum Shabbos? So the Pasuk says, Al Yetzi Ish Mem Koma Bayam HaShvi. A person has a Mokum. So let's say a person lives all by himself. He lives in a country, lives in the desert, lives in the mountains. There's no city around at all. So wherever he lives, he has a house. So you measure Alpai Mama, which is very little, Alpai Mama in every direction. It's questionable how much is an Amo. An Amo is 6 Tfachim, a Tefach is like this. It's a question how of an Odin Beinani. So some people's fingers are fatter than other people's fingers. How much is a Tefach? So the different opinions. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, he writes in his Sefer, I can't understand how can there be a dispute how much the Tefach is. I measured my fist many times over and it always turns out to be 3.6 inches. That's exactly the machlokes. Is he an Odin Beinani? Is he not an Odin Beinani? So the Chazon Ish holds that the Shir Tefach is much bigger than Rav Moshe Feinstein. And Rav Avram Chaim Noah, who is the Bar Plukta, he disagreed with the Chazon Ish. His Shir is less than Rav Moshe Feinstein. Now, in America, we assume that it's 3.6. We follow Rav Moshe Feinstein. So that's one Tefach. 3.6 inches is one Tefach. And an Amo is 6 Tvachim. So you multiply 3.6 times 6. So what do we come out? Higher mathematics. 21.6. Yeah. And the car coming here. We multiply. 21.6 inches is one Amo. Then if you multiply, Alpai Mama. Okay. So the Gemara uses the term a mil. A mil is Alpai Mama. That's a distance and that's a time also. So if a person doesn't want to bother measuring, he's going to walk the way an average person would walk. How fast does an average person walk? So that's what Tosfos writes in Erevin, that's Tosfos in Shabbos writes in Mevar Madlikin, that's a Machlokes HaTanaim. How fast does an average person walk? So how fast does an average person walk a mil? So the Mishnah Brura always writes that a mil is 18 minutes. So the later post can point out that's clearly not correct. The Mishnah Brura is quoting that from earlier Achrayim who had a different clock system. The hour didn't have 60 minutes. An hour had less than 60 minutes. So 18 minutes was a sheer mil. But the way our system is that we have 60 minutes to the hour, so it's not 18 minutes. If you do the calculations, it's going to come out to be 22 and a half minutes. There were those who say that it's 24 minutes, and that's based on a Hava Mina in the Gemara in Pesachim that was rejected. The Gemara says in the Pesach time that the sun rises in Yerushalayim approximately 6 in the morning and it sets at 6 in the evening, so that's 12 full hours. The whole day is 12 full hours. So how many mil can a person walk in the 12 hours? So the Gemara first starts off to say that you can walk 30 mil. So if you divide the 30 mil in 12 hours, it comes out, I think, to be 24 minutes. Then the Gemara rejects it. That's not true. From sunrise to sunset, you can walk 32 mil. And that's the Maskanas HaGemara. So 32 mil in 12 hours, it comes out to be 22 and a half hours. It can't be 18 minutes. The 18 minutes in the Mishnah Brura, he always writes 18 minutes. He's quoting the earlier Poskim. And the Poskim write that calculation of 18 minutes is on the assumption that you have less than 60 minutes in an hour. According to our system, it's really 22 and a half minutes. So if a person wants to walk, let's say a person is in mountains, and he has a home, and he wants to know how far can he go. So he can walk. If he's walking average speed, he's not running, he's walking average speed, Odin Beinani, so he can walk up until 22 and a half minutes. The thing is that when you walk on the road or something, you're not walking straight. Usually you walk around and around and around and around. So the din is that you measure the mil the way the crow flies. You go straight. Even though you're walking around and around, the roads don't go straight. So you have to measure as if you would be walking straight. Would that take you more than 22 and a half minutes to get to your location? So a lot of times it'll take an hour, but you didn't really walk. If it would have been a straight road, it would have been less than 22 and a half minutes. So that's not a violation of Tchum Shabbos. If a person lives inside a city, the halacha recognizes a concept of a city. There's a din of Ari Miklot. There are dinim of Ayaras Hamakafis Chaim, Moshe Shul Benun, different dinim. The dinim, you're not allowed to bring an Eben Hamanugas into any city in Eretz Yisrael. A Metzora, who's an Adam, who's a Metzora, is not allowed to enter Ayaras Hamakafis Chaim, Moshe Shul Benun. But an Eben Hamanugas, you're not allowed to bring into any city in Eretz Yisrael. That's a Tosefta like that. But on a farm, you can bring it. So the question is, what's the definition of a city? So the Mishnah is half Kolom. So the Rabbi Kiveger, it's very strange why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't give. When you look in the Mishnah Brura, you look in the Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas, Erevei Tchumen, so the Shulchan Aruch never gives you what's the definition of a city. So the Mishnah Brura says, Rabbi Kiveger gives you the definition. The Kiveger quotes Mishnahs. So the Mishnah says, both in Erevin and in Erechin, in both Masechtas, in Yeshivas, they make fun of the way Balabatim learned. Yeshivas, they think that only in Yeshivas they know how to learn. Balabatim don't have a halal. So they make fun of the Balabatim. Two elderly gentlemen made up, they're going to learn Becharusa, and they're both hard of hearing. So one of them thought they made up to learn Erevin, the other one thought they made up to learn Erechin. Two totally different topics, nothing to do with each other. So they were, the Charusa was going very well until one of them made a siyum. Erechin ends around Daf Chav Chesos. And Erevin goes to left the Daf Kuf. So they didn't realize the first 28 lot that they're learning two different things. So that's in the yeshivas. They make fun of the way Balabatim learned Daf Yom. So there happened to be, Rabbi Kiveger quotes, this is a Mishnah that appears both in Erevin and in Erechin. And both Mesichtas, they took it. There are some things, there is a little overlap, even though 99% have nothing to do with each other, this tiny little bit of overlap. What's the definition of an ear? So an Erevin, it's relevant for the dinim of Tchumen, and an Erechin, it's relevant for selling a bias by Ayoras HaMakovis Chomer, so Shemunun. So what's the definition of an ear? So the Mishnah says, if you have Gimel Chatzeres, and a Chatzer means an area that has a wall around it, have a Mechitza around it, with two Batim in the Chatzer. So if you have three Chatzeres, so Tosis points out there in Erevin, what do you mean have three chatzeres? The three chatzeres have to be contiguous. The second one is touching the first one. The third one is touching the second one. Only if they're contiguous with each other. Very not mistaber. So if you have one chatzer in New York and one chatzer in Chicago, one chatzer in Los Angeles, they declare all the United States as one big year. It's too far apart. You have a 500 miles apart from each other. How can that be? So how far apart would you allow the chatzeres to be that they constitute an ear? So Tais says there must be some shear. So Tais says the shear is 70 amas and 2/3. Where'd they get that from? Thin air. Shivim amas vishirayim, 70 plus change. So the Gemara derives this from a pasuk. This shear, 70 amas and change. So if you would have asked anyone who does know the Tais, they would say that's only an asmachta, that pasuk. But Tais says it's not an asmachta. Tais says this is a din deraisa. The pasuk says when Moshe Rabbeinu made the Mishkan, so the Mishkan, the Chatzar HaMishkan was 100 amas long and 50 amas wide. And everything in the Chatzar HaMishkan, the Mizbeach in the Heichal, everything was in the second half of the Chatzar HaMishkan. The first 50 amas by 50 amas was empty, and everything was in the second half. So you had to enter the Pesach HaChatzar was all the way, let's say this would be the Chatzar HaMishkan. You enter the Chatzar HaMishkan from over here, facing west, and the first half is all empty. And you have the Mizbech over here and the Hechel over here, everything in the second half. So the Pasuk says that the Chatzar HaMishkan was 100 by 50. Then it says, Verochav, it's 100 amas long, Verochav, and how wide is it? It says, Chamishim Chamishim. Rochav should say Chamishim, 50. What does it say? But the width was Chamishim Chamishim. So Rashi and Chumash says, what it means is that the first 50 by 50 was empty, there was nothing there, and the Mizbech begins in the second half, and the Hechel is in the second half. There's nothing in the first half. That's what Rashi says. But the Gemara says an additional level of interpretation, that if you would ask anybody, you would have said it's an asmachta. So Tais says, no, this is a real din d'oraisa. You take 50 by 100, and you take, what is the area if you multiply 50 by 100? 5,000, so you take the square root of 5,000, and that gives you 70 and 2/3, 70 would change, and that's a din d'oraisa. That's what the pasuk is referring to. Barucha chamishim chamishim, 50 by 50 doesn't mean 50 by 50, it means you take the whole Chatzar HaMishkan, which is 50 by 100, you take the area, and then you figure out what is the square root. If you would have made it into a square, where is the pasuk talking about taking a rectangle, making it into a square? It sounds like a balaturim or something, like a gematria, like a chassidish rebbe's gematria. So Taisa says, no, that's a din deraisa, that this is the shir, 70 amas is the shir. If you have one chotzer in New York, and one chotzer in Chicago, and one chotzer in Los Angeles, you don't declare all the United States as one big ear. The chatzeres have to be either contiguous, or that's too much to expect, or they should be within 70 amas to each other. That's what Tosfos is mechadesh. The Gemara talks about 70 amas within 70 amas and shav within with respect to a different din. If you have a whole city with a lot of houses, so how far does the city extend? So the Gemara says, if you have a house, here's the last house in the city, and then there's another house over here. So if the other house is within 70 amas to the first house, the city keeps on going weiter. Then if you have another house that's 65 amas away from that house, the city keeps on going weiter. Whenever there's a house within 70 amas to another house, that's all part of the city. So let's say you have a house, and you have a city, and it's houses all over the place, and it's amoeba shape, circular shape, amoeba, all over, houses all over the place. So where is the city limits? So the Mishnayos say, Al Pidin, every city is a rectangular shape. So if it's amoeba shape, or it's a circular shape, so you make it into a rectangle, you make it into tavla mirubas, doesn't mean square, it means a rectangle. New York City is not circular, it's not, Manhattan is not circular, it's not amoeba shape. It's approximately rectangular the way it stands. It's almost a rectangular the way it stands. So then the Gemara says, if it's almost a rectangle, so you fill in the whole rectangle, you make it into a whole rectangle. You're going to be missing houses in the corners, all the four corners, but you make it into a full rectangle. If it doesn't seem to be rectangular shape at all, then the Gemara says you make it rectangular shape according to the Ruchas Olam. You make the northern border should be according to northeast, southwest, you make it neat. Manhattan is approximately rectangular, and it's not according to the northeast, southwest of Ruchas Olam. So then you just fill in the rectangle. So the Gemara said, that's how Pidin, the city. If all of the houses, you have to have a minimum of gimel chatzeres. Each chatzer has to have a minimum of shnei batim in the chatzer. Chatzer means you have a mechitza around it. The chatzeres have to be within, minimum within, either touching each other, contiguous, or within 70 amas to each other. And then, whatever additional houses you have there, all the houses have to be within 70 amas to each other. And Taisus understand that's a real din deraisa, the 70 amas. And then you draw the city limits as a rectangular shape. So now on the outskirts of the city, so now the Ramah Paskin, there's a machlokes, the Ramah Paskin's for Ashkenazim, that you have another 70 amas that's called Ibura Shalir. Just like a woman who's pregnant is called an Isha Mulberes, so the city is pregnant. Every city has 70 amas around it. Every city is rectangular shape. And then in addition to that rectangular shape, you have empty spaces where there are no houses there. In all the four corners, you take the northernmost house and you draw a line there, easternmost house and you draw a line there, the southernmost house and so on. And then you take another 70 amas, two-thirds around that, and then you measure alpayim amah around the Yibur HaShalir. That's how there are more paskins and Shulchan Aruch. But this is only provided that you have the status of a city. So a city, you have to have Gimel Chatzeres. So the question is, a chotzer means an area that's enclosed, has a mechitza, and you have two batim there. So the problem is, this is raised by the Maharsham, the problem is that there's a Ramah in another place in the first half. Usually Chelek Dalet of Mishneh Berurah is usually brand new. It's untouched by human hands. No one ever studies Chelek Dalet of Mishneh Berurah. All the dinim of Erevin, and Erevei Tchumen, and Erevei Chatzeres, and so on. The Ramah Paskin, the Marsham is bothered with the Kasha, and here in Hilchas Tchumen, that the Ramah quotes from the earlier Paskim that whatever kulas appear in the opening Mishnah in Erevin, that you can put a lechi or a korah for the fourth side if you have three walls around an area, menator you're allowed to carry, and with the Rabbanim we require you should make a tikkun on the Ruach Aviyah, so if it's a mavui, we allow you to put a lechi or korah, that doesn't apply any longer b'zman hazeh. We don't have any din mavui, so this kula doesn't apply. Why do we not have a din mavui? So if you look In the original source, the Rambam is quoting from a Sedeshin, I think. He says because ain't lona din chotzer bismanaze. You don't have a din mavui, because the definition, there are three different things. There are batim, chatzeris, and mavuas. So batim are homes where people live. So batim we have. I live in an apartment, you live in everybody lives in a house, an apartment, that's called a bais. A chotzer means I live in an apartment building. So there's a hallway, and all of the apartments open up on my floor. All the apartments open up into the hallway. So if we would sometimes have picnics in the hallway, sometimes we would sit in the hallway and read a book or something. We never do that. Some people eat their pizza, leil bedikas chametz. The wife doesn't let the children eat any chametz in the house. So sometimes once a year they eat their pizza in the hallway in the apartment building. But that's not normal. The hallway has no hishtamshus. No one ever uses the hallway. You carry your luggage when you're coming back from the airport. You carry your luggage. You leave it in the hallway for 2 minutes. You open the door and then you go into your apartment. We never use the hallway. No one ever sits in the hallway. So that's what there are more quotes from the Truma Sadesh. Ein lana din mavui bezman hazeh because ein lana din chotzer. Because the definition of a mavui is if you have an area that's enclosed with a mechitza that has two chatzeres opening into it. And a chotzer means an area enclosed with a mechitza that has two batim opening into it, and the two people that live in the two batim use the chotzer, not just to carry their luggage. When we go shopping in the grocery, so we can't come back with a lot of bags, and you leave in the hallway for 2 minutes, and you open your door, and you take your bags into your apartment. You don't leave anything in the hallway. We leave the umbrella in the hallway sometimes overnight. Usually it's there in the morning. Outside. Yeah, but you don't really have any hishtamshis in the hallway. So that's what the Maharsham is bothered with. How can we have a din ear, bizman hazeh, if the definition of an ear, it says the Mishnah is an erchen and an erevin. Rabbi Kivege quotes, definition of an ear is a location where you have three chatzeris that are either contiguous or within 70 yamas to each other. We don't have any chatzeris. And on a din chatzer bizman hazeh. So this is the Maharsham's problem. So the Maharsham is known as a big meiko, so he throws in the following kula. He pulls in another Gemara. The first parak in Sanhedrin, the Gemara discusses the din avir hanidachas. There's a din of Chumash that if there's a city in Eretz Yisrael where 51% of the population worship Tavod Azara, so you have to burn down the whole city, you have to put to death all those people who worship Tavod Azara, but you even burn down the homes of the tzaddikim who live in the city. You shouldn't have moved into the city. So they're punished also. They're not killed. They didn't worship Avodah Zarah, but they lose their home. You burn down their homes and you destroy all of their property. So the one Tana says in Gemara, the whole story of Eir Nidachas never was, never will be, so far-fetched. There's so many conditions that it's practically impossible. How can you have a city in Eretz that doesn't have any mezuzah? That's how the Gemara says. Today, by when I say Ram, there are cities in Eretz that have no mezuzah, but the Tana couldn't visualize it. How can there be a city in Eretz that has no mezuzah? It's impossible. Even if it's impossible, even if never happened, never will be, but still the Talmud does discuss the details of Eir Nidachas. So the Gemara says, what's the minimum and the maximum population in the city to be qualified in Eir Nidachas? So one Tana says, from 10 people to 100. If you have less than 10 people living in the city, it's not called an Eir. Minimum population of an Eir is 10 people. Maximum is 100 people. If you have 100 people, then it's already a metropolis. So whenever we have dinim and dinim nefashis, we always darshan the psukim lahokel. We bend over backwards to darshan. The Gemara says, the Gemara quotes the pasuk v'hitzila ho'edo in Parshas Masei. V'shoftu ho'edo v'hitzila. So v'hitzila ho'edo means you darshan the psukim. The midrash ha'tarin and reshes behem are a little bit different when it comes to dinim nefashis. We always bend over backwards to be more lenient. So this Tana says, if it's a metropolis, if it's too big, then the Torah never meant you should destroy such a city. So you can only destroy, you can only declare it as an Eir Nidachas if it has a minimum population of 10, maximum of 100. If it has more than 100 people, it's a metropolis, and the Torah never meant that. So whoever worshipped Avodah Zarah gets punished. But you don't burn down anybody's houses. We don't paskin like that. We paskin minimum population is 100. Less than 100 people is not called a city. The maximum population, when is it called the metropolis? If it's Rov HaShevet. All right, Rov HaShevet. The 12 Shvatim say, Rov HaShevet, that's a metropolis. New York City is a metropolis. Yerushalayim is a metropolis. Okay. So we pass in Lalocha that minimum population is 100. So the Marsham says like this, correct, we don't have Chatzeris, Bizmanazah, Ein Lana Din Mavu, because Ein Lana Din Chatzer. There's no Din, but he says you can declare the area as a city The Baal Shem is always known as a Mekel, a big Mekel. So you can declare the area as a city either if you have three Chatzeres or if you have a population of 100 people. So if you have one or the other. So he says, true, we don't have any Chatzeres, but as man as that, well, we do have a minimum, we have a population of 100 people, and all 100 people live in homes that are within 70 amos to each other, so that area would have the din of an ear. The Pashtas, part of what the Masham says, we know is correct. The Masham thinks that that passage in the Gemara about the minimum population in the city is not just an issue that's with respect to Ir Nidachas, it's a din in Ir in Kol HaTorah Kula, whenever there's a din of Ir. So the Ravid writes like that in Hilchas Megillah. The Ravid writes that there are three different times to read the Megillah. If you live in a normal city, read the Megillah on the 14th of Adar. Live in Shushan Habira, you live in Ayaras HaMakavishchayim and Mimosya Shemino, and you read the Megillah on the 15th of Adar. And Yerushalayim, they read the Megillah, no, on Shushan Purim, they read it on the 15th of Adar. And then in the early days, Bizman Baisheni, so they used to read the Megillah on the Monday or Thursday before Purim. If Purim didn't fall out on Monday or Thursday, we'd read on the Yom HaKnisa. So in order to have that lenient din that we permit you, if you read the Megillah on Purim, it's very good. But the people who live on the Kfarim and the villages, that's not an ear, so we are lenient on them, we permit them to read the Megillah Monday or Thursday before. So the Ravid writes in his comments on the side of the Rama, Hilchas Megillah, how do you decide whether it has a din of an ear, has a din of a krach, has a din of a kfar? When is it an ear and when is it kfarim? So he says, if you have a population of 100 people, then it's an ear. Less than 100 people, it's not called an ear. So he takes this passage in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the first parak in Sanhedrin, that the Gemara talks about what's the minimum population that it should be considered an ear. It's not only machlokes regarding Ir Nidachas, it's relevant to Kol HaTorah Kula. So that part of the Masham is correct. He says the Gemara is telling you what the population is. But the other part of the Masham is very difficult. He says to declare that it's an ear, you either need one or the other. He says either you have three Chatzeres, or you have a population of 100 people. Poshib Shat is you need all. You need Gimel Chatzeres, and you need a minimum population of 100. It's not one or the other. It should be both. And it could well be, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from, it says in the Shulchan Aruch quotes a Gemara, the 100 people have to be people, not nomads. Let's say you have people, Jewish people, Jews, non-Jews, doesn't make a difference. You have 100 people, they pitch a tent in the middle of the desert. They pitch the tents there, and they happen to be there now. They'll be there for 2 months, then they're going to move on to another grazing area. So if they just happen to be there temporarily, they don't live there permanently. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that that's not called an ear. You have to have people who have houses that are attached to the ground who live there permanently. So that's the question. What if you have an area near the airport where they have a lot of motels? The motels are always full, but nobody lives there more than 3 days. There's turnover. Every 2 days, someone else is in the room. There are always 100 people in the area, but no one leaves there too long. So that doesn't count. You have to have people who have to live there for some minimum amount of time. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Godim. He's not sure how long they have to stay there. What do you mean he's not sure? The Gemara has two zmanim. The Gemara says sometimes there's a din that depends on people living there for 30 days, and sometimes there's a din that depends on people living there 12 months. So the Pashtus is over here, you want to declare that it's an ear, so it should either be 30 days, Pashtus says it should be 12 months. So the Prima Godim raises the possibility, maybe a season. Where did he get the season from? Thin air. So there's no such year. If you live there a half a year, or a season of the year, the four seasons of the year, where does that come from? The Pashta says you need a minimum population of 100 people who live there a minimum of a year, or plan to live there a minimum of a year, and their homes are attached to the ground. That's them, they pitch the tent there, they're going to be there for a year. And it should be in the configuration of three chatzeres. You need all of this together. And then the Pashta also is, let's say you have one apartment building, and on the first floor of the apartment, let's say I live in an apartment building with 6 floors. So if you take together all the people on all the 6 floors, you have more than 100 people. So there's a Gemara Nedarim that sometimes we don't count the people who live in the upper floors. You only count those people who live on the ground floor. So it could be over here also that when you're trying to determine whether you have an ear, it could well be that you only count the people who live on the first floor. So usually in apartment buildings, you don't have, that's the problem, you don't have chatzeres. because they don't use the hallways for hishtamshus. Let's say in Manhattan you have dormitories. Let's say in yeshiva dormitory. So the yeshiva dormitory is like a bungalow colony. A guy has to take a shower, so he walks in the hallway with a towel, like half undressed. He walks in his pajamas. He walks into the other one's room. So the hallway is in a dormitory. That's probably like a chotzer. That's taka like a chotzer. But the hallways in an apartment building, that's not a chotzer. They have no hishtam. The people don't have any hishtamshes in the hallways. So that's questionable. Do we really have a din chotzer? Do we really have a din ir bizman hazeh? Everybody thinks, you know, you can walk from one end of Manhattan to the other. It's all the same city. So that's very questionable. It could be that you're not allowed to walk more than 22 and a half minutes anywhere. Forget about in the mountains. In the mountains, for sure, you're not allowed to walk. It could be that even in the city, you're not allowed to walk. Maybe the city doesn't have the status of an ear. I remember once in Tannisville, he was talking about the boss from this neighborhood, who I think he passed away already. So he was rushing up to the mountains on Erev Shabbos. It was getting late. And then the police were giving everybody a hard time. So he told, he was a Tmimizdik fellow, so he told the police, I'm a religious Jew, I have to make a trip. So the policeman said, you wait over here. And they kept him waiting lahachas. And then he kept on telling the policeman, but I have to get it there for the Sabbath. I can't drive on them. They said, you wait over here. They made him wait longer. And then he couldn't go. So he started to drive a little bit. It became Shkia. So he jumped out of the car, parked his car on the side of the road, and he starts walking to Tannisville. He's going to walk all the way to Tannisville. So someone saw him, some non-Jews were driving on the highway, and they said, do you want to ride? So he said, yeah. So he said, where do you want to go? So he said, I'm not allowed to tell you. Amir al-Nukhri. He's not allowed to tell him. So he says, he'll jump in the car. They're driving the car. Anyway, go ahead, I'm driving the car. So he'll jump in the car. He's going to tell him when he has to get out. They're driving. I said, oh, stop the car. I got to get out. So he stopped the car. And he was walking for hours and hours and hours. He called his wife on the cell phone to say he's going to be there late. She made Kiddush without him. He came at this 4 o'clock in the morning. We didn't see him by Shacharis. But then when we were learning Shabbos afternoon, he was there. He came to learn Shabbos afternoon. He was there by Mincha. So everybody asked, where were you this morning? He said, tell us. He was walking and walking and walking all night long. He got home 3-4 o'clock in the morning. He was conked out. He couldn't come to the minyan in the morning. So that's way chutz l'tchum. That for sure you're not allowed to go. That may have been even more than 7 miles. It may even be the more than Yud Beis Mil. The Raisa, the Rabbana, whatever it is. So that's talking issue of Truman. So if a person wants to go chutz l'trum, what can he do? So the Mishnah says you make an Erev Truman. Make an Erev Truman. What do? You leave, let's say, I want to go to shul. And I live so far away from the shul, it's a straight line, and it's more than 22 and a half minutes. It's more than a mile away. So if it's 40 minutes away, so I can leave a box of matzahs. We'll soon discuss what you leave. I can leave a box of matzahs within, let's say my house is over here and the shul is over there, and it's a 40 minute walk. So I can leave a box of matzahs a 20 minute walk away from me. It has to be toch hatchum of where I am, and I declare I have to leave the box matzah Erev Shabbos before Shabbos begins, and I say with this box of matzahs I declare that's my mokum, and I want to go alpai mamo that direction. So now, once I declare on Erev Shabbos that that's my makom, I can't walk alpai mamo in this direction, the other directions. I just declare this is my makom. So I have to figure out the Trum Shabbos around that location. So, do you need dafke matzis? So the Mishnah says, Erev Chatzeris, if you have an apartment building, you want to carry in the building, so for the purpose of Erev Chatzeris, that's Menat Torah, building is a Rishus HaYochid. And walls around it. The Rabbanu Shlomo HaMelech made a takani, you're not allowed to carry in an apartment building unless they make an Erev Chatzeris. So let's say you have an apartment building with 100 tenants. Let's say the Rosh HaMishabes. You have an apartment holding 100 tenants. So one family lives in this apartment of Derech HaPshat. We really live here. The other 99 families, if each one leaves a challah in my apartment, so we consider it as if everybody lives in this apartment. Everybody lives in the apartment, so then nobody asks on anybody else. It's one big happy family, then you're allowed to carry. The family who lives in the apartment doesn't have to put a matzah there. They live there on their hapshat. The other 99 families who live in the house also, who don't live here, so if they leave a challah here, you have 99 challah, so that's called Erev Chatzeris. So the din is Erev Chatzeris is only good if you made it with bread. Pashim Avrochim Olav HaMoitzi. And even though the Svardim say Mezoinus and matzahs all year long, but the Gemara says, if you eat enough matzah, the Sfaradim treat it like cake. But if you eat, eat enough cake, if you eat a ton of cake, then you say hamotzi. You have to wash and say hamotzi. You have to bench. So the Gemara says, if it's a cake that if you would be kaveh asud on it, you would say hamotzi, so then it's good for erev chatzeres. So the practice always is, you make an erev chatzeres with a box of matzahs, and it's even good for the svardim. Even though the svardim same as Zionists, that's called pashim b'vachim olav hamotzi. For the purposes of Erev Tchumen, to be allowed to go chutz l'tchum, the Mishnah starts off, the third parak in Erevin starts off, bakol mi'arvin. You can use any, almost, you can use almost any food for the purpose of Eruv Chatzeres, of Eruv Tchumen. So you have to, let's say, I live over here, and the shul is over there, and it's a 40-minute walk, and it's clearly more than tchum, but it's less than two tchumen. So I leave the box of matzahs, or whatever food, a jar of pickles, or salami or whatever I want to leave over here, and I declare that's my makom. So you have to leave so much food, whatever the food is, that you would normally eat in two meals. So if you're using bread, so the Gemara has a whole machlekes hatanan, what is the normal amount of bread that a normal person would eat in two meals? The days of the Tanaim, they used to eat much more bread than we do. Americans say, how do we eat any bread? Do we have so much other food? So the Tanoim say, what's called mazon shtei sudas? If you're eating flesh, if you're eating pickles, if you're eating anything else, so whatever it is, you have to have mazon, the amount of pickles that a normal person would eat in two meals. And if you have the husband and the wife and the nine children, they all want to walk to shul, so you have to have 11 jars of pickles, or 11 salamis, or 11 chalas. It's not enough. It's not like Erev Tavshilin, that you put away an Erev Tavshilin, and that's good for the rabbi puts away one Erev Tavshilin for all the balabatim in the neighborhood, and everybody's yotze with that. Here the Gemara says, for each and every individual person who wants to go chutz l'tchum, you have to have a separate Erev Tchum. It's interesting, the Mishnah Brura points out, what if you hold that Tchumen is a real din deraisa? Let's say, according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, that Tchumen is deraisa. Go, Alpai Mama is an Issa deraisa. According to the Rambam, who follows the Yerushalmi, that Tchumen 12 mil is their Isa. This gimmick works also. They leave a box of matzahs, that kind of shvisa. It sounds so much like a din de Rabbanan, it's hard to believe that this is a din men HaTorah. So the Mishnah Brura says, wrong. It's a beferish Gemara that even according to the Tanaim who think that Tchumen is a din de Isa, here the Tchumen still works. So beferish Gemara, he quotes the Rambam and his commentary on the Gemara points out that the Erev Tchumen is acceptable even if one would assume that Tchumen is a din deraisa. The Gemara says that this is a kula though. The whole idea there that Tchumen is a big kula, it even works if Tchumen is deraisa, it's a kula. So the Gemara says, Eim arvin ele ledvar mitzvah. You're only allowed to use this gimmick if you want to go to shul. Let's say you want to just get together with your friends on Shabbos. So there's no, what are you going to do with your friends? Shmuz Lashon Hara. Tell the latest news, analyze the latest problem in Eretz Yisrael, or the latest news in the campaign, the presidential campaign. So if it's not a Dvar Mitzvah, the Mishnayos have, a person doesn't know, a Chacham Baluir, a rabbi is coming to visit either to the city to the east or the city to the west. He wants to go hear the rabbi's drasha, but he doesn't know where the rabbi is going to be located. So wherever it's going to be, he's going to need an Erev. So he writes, so the Mishnayos talk, he makes two Eruv Tchumen. He says, if the Chacham comes to the city to the east, so I want my Eruv to the east to work. If the Chacham is going to come to the city to the west, I want the Eruv to the west to go. So the Gemara says, an Eruv Tchumen is good, because you want to go hear a shir. You want to daven tefillah b'tzibur or something. But stam, you just want to get together with your friends. So the Gemara says, that's not proper. You're not permitted to make an Eruv Tchumen l'dvar harshus, only the dvar mitzvah.
When does he have to designate which one it is?
Yeah,
which
that's
is his legal residence, at right. What point?
So that's a whole discussion in the Gemara. What if he makes two? So if before Shabbos it's already been designated, I just didn't know which direction the Chacham came. But the Chacham already did come, either to the east or to the west. So then you make a Tanai. You say, if the Chacham is in that city, I want this area, the Chacham in that city. What if the Chacham didn't decide yet where he's going to go? So where is the Chacham? Where in the world is the Chacham that he can go? Either I can't go to the east or to the west. Unless I make an air, where the Chacham is flying in the air, it's Eliyahu Hanavi flying in the air. So that's what Tosis says. Where is the Chacham that he can go either to? So Tosis stands on the head to figure out a case. Where is the Chacham? The Chacham is going to decide on Shabbos where he's going to go. So then it's a Shaila Breira. So the Gemara has a Machloikah Satana, where the Yesh Breira, Ember, Gansa Machloikah Satana. So this is the institution of Eruv Tchumen. There's another kind of erev etrumen where you don't have to leave any food. Let's say I don't want to leave any food. I'm going to leave food. Someone's going to steal a box of matzahs. The erev etrumen is only good if I leave a box of matzahs and the dogs ate it up before Shabbos comes. I'm going to leave it 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and Shabbos is going to begin in the summertime. Let's say in the mountain, Shabbos is going to begin 8 o'clock at night. So someone may walk off with the box of matzahs before 8 o'clock at night. So then the whole erev is no good. It's only good if I know that it's still there at the beginning of Shabbos, when Shabbos enters. So let's say there's no way for me to put the box of matzahs or the jar of a gefilte fish or the pickles. There's no way for me to secure it that it's going to be there. So the Gemara says you can walk there. That's called Ma'ar Baraglov. You walk there and you sit there, Arav Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. You won't be able to daven tefillah b'tzipur. So that's going to be a major problem. But if you're standing there and you say, I want to be kind of shvisa, then you don't need any mazon shtei sudas. You only have to put the food there that's bimkoin. If you go there in person, you sit there when Shabbos enters, so of course that's good for the erev etrum. And if you don't go in person, then you have to leave the food there. The Mishnah has a din. The din of erevin applies to Shabbos and to Yontif. We said earlier, it's a machlokes, but the Yontif is the rice of the Rabban. So on Yontif, you're allowed to carry. So the Gemara has in the end of Beitza, Behema v'hakelim k'ragle habaylim. Just like every Jewish person has a din of Trumen, the non-Jews don't have a din of Trumen, just every Jewish person has a din of Trum Shabbos, so the property that the person owns also has his Trum. So let's say, I'm away in Eretz Yisrael for Yontif, you're my next door neighbor, I give you the keys to my part, I say, whatever you need, you can use. Whatever you want to use, you can use. So you take a sefer and you want to go to the park. You want to read the sefer in the park. So the sefer is chutz l'trum because I'm the owner of the sefer, and I'm in Eretz Yisrael. So America is way chutz l'trum. So you're not allowed to take the sefer on Shabbos. You can't carry. Period. Not allowed to carry on Shabbos unless you have an erev. So if it's teich erev Shabbos Yantav, you have an erev. So the erev is considered like keteich dal ramiz dami. So it's considered as if you didn't take it out of anything. But let's say there's no Erev, and you want to carry the Sefer to the park on Yontif. You want to take a book from my library to read the book on Yontif. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to. If I would have lent you the book before Yontif, and you borrowed it, so it has your Trum, even though it doesn't belong to you, you borrowed it, it has your Trum. And then your coat or raincoat, whatever. So if you have it, you borrowed it, so it has your Trum. But if I didn't lend it to you, I just gave you the keys, and I said, whatever you need is okay. Use it, I give you permission. So then, if you decide to take something on Yontif, so since the owner of the property is Chutz L'Trum, so you're not allowed to move any of his things outside of the building. Toch the building is a Toch Rishu Sayachet, that's not a problem. If there's an Erev, it's Toch Rishu Sayachet, not a problem. But if you're going to carry it outside, that's the Mishnah. Habayim of HaKelim, Kiragle HaBailim. So the Mishnah has a humorous case in the end of Beitza, a Balabos that wants to bake a cake on Yontif. So she doesn't have any flour. All she has is water. She has a pot. And she borrows from one neighbor, she borrows flour. She borrows spices from another neighbor. She borrows something else from the other neighbor. So she has a cake that's made up from different ingredients from three different women. And each family has a different tchum shah. They have a different tchum yontif. This family made an erve tchum to go in that direction. The other family has an erve tchum to go in a different direction. And now she has a cake that has ingredients from all the three different families. So the Mishnah says she's restricted on Yontif. You're allowed to carry the cake in order to eat it in the park. She can't carry the cake. She can only carry the cake in that area where they all share the common Trum Yontif. Not allowed to carry it outside of the Trum that all three of the people share together.
Does the Erev Chatzeros save you from the Erev Trum? Like, they got a big camp and you have a... And it's down 5 miles in all directions.
If you have an Erev...
You have an Erev Chatzeros around it. Does that eliminate the Erev Tchumen problem?
Yeah, there's no problem. Whenever you have an Erev, you don't even... Erev Chatzeros means to put away the box of matzahs to be allowed to carry. I mean, if you don't have the box of matzahs, if you have an Erev...
Pesach all around.
Right, if you have the Tzuras HaPesach around, so it's considered Kedal Ramas. Right, so that wouldn't be a problem. Sometimes you have issues... Let's say you have two cities that are near each other. So neither city is in the shape of a rectangle. Or let's say one is approximately a rectangle. Let's say Manhattan and Riverdale. So Manhattan is approximately one kind of a rectangle. And Riverdale is approximately a different kind of a rectangle. So if you draw the rectangle of Riverdale, so the whole Washington Heights is included in the Tchum. So the people from Riverdale have no problem. They can come to Washington Heights and they can go back home. But the shaila is, if you draw the rectangle of Manhattan, it doesn't go into Riverdale. So they can come to us and we can't go to them. That makes sense. The distance it's further, that's what people always say. It's further if you walk from Manhattan to Riverdale than if you walk from Riverdale to Manhattan. It's the same distance. How can it be that this way is Torah Tchum, that way is Chutz L'Tchum? So this is a big machlokes. That's what it sounds like in the Chazon Ish. That the people from Riverdale can come to Manhattan, people from Manhattan can't go to Riverdale. So others say, no, the Chazon Ish never said it. They heard from him in person. He never said it. Did say, didn't say. So there's a machlokes in our generation. You have a lot of complicated shilas in Hilchas Eruvin. Okay, a very cheerful topic.
If you have Manhattan and you have Riverdale, and if you go outside of Manhattan, the Amos, you have another house. Doesn't it keep going? So why is there a problem anyway? Why do you draw the line around Manhattan? Don't you keep going all the way up the coast of the United States in terms of?
The houses are not within 7 yards.
Well, okay, but let's say there may be above Manhattan, you go into the Bronx.
If you keep on having houses within 7 yards, then you can go over there, no problem. That's not a problem. But I think to go from Manhattan to Riverdale, there's a jump where there are no houses in 7 yards.
Well, on Warmer,
could be.
Okay.
Across the bridge also. The bridge when you go Broadway?
Broadway bridge.
And that's not a gap of 70 amas?
2 minute walk. 2 minute walk.
Well, 70 amas not so much either. I don't know.
Could Rebbe address definitions of parallelism in the Sfarabim?
I could address it, but it's not really relevant to this topic. That's a different topic. There is a din that a lot of people make a mistake about. We were discussing it coming here in the car. Let's say someone has to go to the hospital, Chalila, on Shabbos Yontif. So you have to go, you can drive the car yourself. You allowed to go, Chutz Tchum, you allowed to drive the car. They get to the hospital, the Hatzalah takes the person to the hospital. They go on Friday night and they say in the hospital, you did not have a heart attack, you're okay, you can go home. But they're Chutz L'Tchum. So they would be permitted to ask a non-Jew to drive them home. Amir L'Nachri is Mutter. If it, let's say the patient, the person is a little sick. So the patient who doesn't fit, they didn't have a heart attack, but they don't feel well. So they would rather not be in the hospital. It's better for their purposes they should sleep in their own bed. So they would be allowed to ask a non-Jew to drive them back home, to be in the comfort of the home, to be healthier. But the shadis are going to go chutz l'tchum. The chutz l'tchum, you can't say, the goy is taking me chutz l'tchum. I'm going chutz l'tchum. So the Gemara says, if a person went chutz l'tchum, the Mokka Mitzvah, when he had a hetatu, we don't permit him to go back to Chatrum. We only permit him, we give him Alpayim Amah L'chol Ruach. He's allowed to go if there's some friend or acquaintance or relative who lives near the hospital where they are, they can walk if it's within 22 and a half minutes in the hospital, they can walk to Chatrum there. If a person went Chutz L'Tchum not with a heter, then he only has Dalar Amas where he is. He's not allowed to go Alpayim Amah. And then a lot of people don't know this. A lot of people, they go to the hospital, and then they come back. Let's say they're in a hotel for Shabbos and for Yontif. Someone doesn't feel well, so they drive them to a hospital an hour away. And then they stay in the hospital for 2-3 hours, and then they release them. So they told the goy to come back, and the goy takes them all the way back home, way all the way Chutz L'Tchum. So when they go back Chutz L'Tchum, they're not allowed to walk outside of their Dalar Amos. Because they went Chutz L'Tchum, and even though that they came back, there's a penalty, he's not allowed to go Chutz L'Tchum. So you got to be careful about these dinim. You got to ask someone who knows the dinim. The dinim are a little bit complicated over here. Good? I go to Rach.
Yes, come on. Thank you.
I don't think so. There's a Mishnah that if you have a place like a dormitory, that all the rooms are furnished. There's peace and quiet in all the rooms, so nobody else is
just coming back to go to a gift show.
Here, it's like a hotel. It's fully furnished. That's what it's furnished. It's a furnished hotel. It's a furnished hotel. Nobody else is in the room.
So it shouldn't be a...
You don't need the only one.
Right.
Yes.
One time.